Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guests this week, Rob Michael and Jerry Brown. Each week at this time, we visit with an author from our region to get an introduction to their work and perhaps a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write and ask them to read from their work. This week, we're very pleased to have Rob Michael with us, and along with him, his publisher, Jerry Brown. So welcome, Rob and Jerry.
Thank you.
Rob Michael was raised in Coburg, went to Coburg East Collegiate, and then studied history and architecture at the University of Toronto. He worked for the Toronto Historical Board for many years in their preservation division and works for the Government of Ontario today. When he lived in Coburg, he was one of the founders of the Coburg and District Historical Society. Sat on the first LACAC, Local Architectural Advisory Committee, of the town, and was a member of the Board of Directors of the Art Gallery of Ontario, as well as the head of the DBIA in Coburg for many years. His important work has been recognized by the grant of the Lieutenant Governor's Award for Lifetime Achievement in Heritage Work. And in 2016, he received the Mary Millard Award from the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario for contributions to heritage. His first book, published several years ago, is Ontario House Styles on Ontario Architecture. His new one is called Coburg, The Spirit of the Place. So, Rob, when did you first become interested in Coburg's history?
Well, I was about 18 years old, I think, when I first started being interested in Coburg's history. I may have been a little nerdy in my youth, but my family were always interested in history, so there was a sort of foundation for history. I was dragged to Upper Canada Village and Fort York and Fort Henry. My dad was a keen historian, so it was in my blood in a way. And we lived in a historic house in Coburg and on the East End, and it had belonged to an American summer family, and they'd married into a Coburg family. So Daintree Fitzhugh was the grandson of the builder. He used to tell these amazing stories about Coburg, which as a teenager I couldn't believe, because you all think your hometown's kind of dull. But these fascinating, glamorous stories of Coburg in its heyday as a summer resort and as an economic and social center. So that kind of triggered my interest, and I started to do research on the house that we lived in and the families that lived there or related to them, and it was just kind of like a ripple effect. It just kind of spread out and spread out until some people would say I became obsessed with it. But
well, it could have been worse.
Yes, that's right. So that's more or less how I got interested in it.
And what were some of those historical things that you found so fascinating?
Well, I've always sort of, I can't even say early on, had an interest in architecture. And so a lot of it was architectural and building focused originally. And I was interested, when I started, which is 1978 or so, there were 7 books in the Coburg Library on Coburg history. There was absolutely no interest and no real records of the town. So it was a bit like rediscovering history in a way. Mm-hmm. So I started with the buildings, and I was trying to date the buildings and find the owners. So I started tracking their descendants to find pictures and information about the buildings. And I'd go, and they'd have all these pictures of their families. So then I started getting interested in the families and the genealogies. And so it just, again, kept spreading and spreading, families to history, to the urban design, how Coburg formed geographically and why its history did that, and just about anything now. And I started being interested in houses that were very early, and now I've moved up, progressed into the 20th century, and now I'm into the post-1950s in terms of doing research on houses and buildings.
Wow, that's something, that's actually quite precious, whether you're interested in architecture or not, just to preserve the history.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And part of it was I was a kind of like a convert. I was, out trying to promote it and give walking tours and talks and get people reinterested in the history.
Wonderful. And who were some of the people that you found?
It's been amazing, really, because I've met so many people. People say local history can be kind of insular, but it's taken me everywhere. And in Coburg, Mr. Fitzhugh, of course, was the first person, and his great stories. And Madeline Rooney, who was someone everyone will remember. I used to chat with her, and Mrs. Mess and Mrs. Inkster were Oslers. Their father was a bank manager here. And so I started in Coburg. And that's where I learned to drink tea. I'm not a coffee drinker. I discovered Coca-Cola at an early age, and I have never veered. But I would go to these mostly older women, and they'd always offer me a cup of tea. So I would have to have a cup of tea. So that's partly how I became a tea drinker, too. through the state, all over North America, one day we were moving into the house at 139 Queen Street, and owned by the Cornell family, and a Mr. Douglas Cornell came up to kind of relive his past. His cousin was the Catherine Cornell, the famous Broadway actress. And so we chatted with them, and we showed them the house, and they left. And then I thought about it, and I made my dad call every motel in Coburg to find out where they were and ask them back for the evening. And so that started about a 25-year friendship with the Cornells.
Wonderful.
And I ended up going to stay with them in Tucson. But there are so many people like that all over North America and some in England that I've contacted and have been very helpful. And it's amazing, almost a 90% rate of return when I contact people.
Yeah, well, that's encouraging that people are willing to...
They're interested in their history and things like that, so it's been very good.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that the house that your family bought or grew up in had belonged to U.S. summer...
Yes, residents.
Residents. So who were some of the people that you found interesting that were sort of visitors to Canada on a regular basis?
I mean, I should say, too, that the Coburg people were very interesting as well. But the summer colony adds a very interesting layer on top of the Coburg one, like General Fitzhugh. Coburg was a very popular resort when it first started for Civil War and military people. And in fact, it was considered the most popular resort for American Army officers in the late 19th century. So we have people like General Sherman, whose march through Georgia is chronicled in Gone with the Wind.
Wow.
People like General McClellan and a number of others, General Fitzhugh, who was from an old Virginia family who was related to the Washingtons, and Robert E. Lee. His wife, Emma Schonberger, was a Cincinnati industrialist daughter, and they were from Pittsburgh originally. And when her father died in 1892, he was worth almost $5 million, which was a...
That's a lot.
His house in Cincinnati was built for $700,000 in 1869, so... You know, we had intellectuals like Basil Gildersleeve, a good name from Baltimore, who was the foremost Greek scholar in the United States.
What a variety,
Fitzhugh Goldsboro was a famous violinist. And so we had industrialists, and the Southerners came up to Coburg for the summer because they had to escape the heat of the South, but they didn't want to spend their money in the North. So they came up to Coburg, and a lot of Civil War people too from the South. So a whole mixture from as far away as New Orleans to Detroit. And James Hoban was a longtime summer resident. His grandfather designed the White House, was the architect for the White House.
Good heavens.
So there's all, and the Roosevelts, some of the Roosevelts came to Coburg. So there's a real divergence.
Well, I can definitely understand how that teenager who thought his hometown was boring soon found it wasn't.
it turned out to be very glamorous.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn to you now, Jerry, and I should let listeners know that Jerry Brown, with his partner Suzanne Sager, run Lighthouse Press, and they are the publishers of the book we're talking about, Coburg, The Spirit of the Place. So, Jerry, as a publisher, how did you get involved?
Well, that's an interesting question because there are several layers to that. First of all, Suzanne and I wanted to, as relatively new people in town, wanted to have some involvement in the community, to do something for the community to help create a better, even better place. And it was also in the background, I think, a 150 project was what we really had in mind. Rob, we met through Gail Raymond, who realized that he'd been doing research for a great deal of time, had a vast knowledge of what was going on, had this wonderful resource of older pictures, but needed somebody to beat him on the head or whatever, get him. But he needed, he needed a publisher. This is not a huge moneymaker for us. This is just two people having fun doing old stuff. You know, my history teaching background, really started off with, well, my dad was a history teacher, you know, it's the kind of thing you do, but I have a fascination also with historical fiction, which is, to me, the easiest way of actually learning real history, because history at a level where people live rather than than constitutions and treaties and stuff. Yeah, because that's what it is real. So we wanted to be involved. Rob needed somebody to do that kind of structure that publishers do. A mutual friend put us together, and you know, a year and a half later, we have a book.
Yeah, and in time for the 150 celebrations.
No, only marginally, but yeah, our target was January 1st.
Yes.
What we did basically was two things. We went around the town and took the current pictures.
Oh.
So the color pictures at the top of each page are things that we did over the last couple of summers. And Rob, of course, had this wonderful collection of the older black and whites and the knowledge. And our thought, I think, originally was really rather more just straight architectural presentation. Rob's interest in the social aspects of this caused a little bit of arm wrestling back and forth. And I think the result of that was a better book than either one of us might have done on our own, you know, which is the point, of course, of any kind of collaboration.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in the little bit of time we have left in this segment, Rob, could you tell us a story from the book?
An interesting aspect, this is just a short bit about a woman named Mary Benson, and she was the daughter of Orrin Strong, who was one of Coburg's first hoteliers. He had the Albion Hotel and later the North American, which were two big early hotels. But there was a lot of fluidity between the borders, so she moved back and married an American. And then one day she was riding on a train and she felt something in the seat and she picked it up and it was a packet of letters. And she looked at the letters and they were a packet of letters written by John Wilkes Booth, who had assassinated Lincoln. And it outlined the plot to assassinate Lincoln. And so she eventually was a witness at the John Wilkes Booth trial. And so this is one of the things I like to do, is connect Coburg with all the events of around North America or the world. So I think that's a little connection to Coburg.
And did they ever find out how they got on the train?
No, not that I've ever found, but someone, whoever he wrote to, they'd fallen out. And
it's true. Truth is stranger than fiction,
yes.
Isn't it? Well, thank you, Rob and Jerry. Been talking
pleasure.
With Rob Michael and Jerry Brown about the book Coburg, The Spirit of the Place, and we'll come back and discuss it some more after this short break.